Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't just the opening theme song to our post-fight show. It's also a lullaby after this weekend of mixed martial arts action. And I feel like we've been watching like 14 hours of MMA. It's just wild. But we're going to talk about everything that happened tonight between UFC Vegas 24, Robert Whittaker, masterful performance over 25 minutes over Kelvin Gastelum, and then Triller Fight Club. Jake Paul does it. Minute 59 seconds, TKO's Ben Askren, gets it done, and Jed Meshew gets his wish. We might be perhaps one step closer to Paul versus McGregor in the squared circle. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but at least we're getting closer to that. There we go. I am Mike Heck. Thank you all for joining us. I am in wedding mode, still dressed up, but it's a big night. So there we go. Being joined by Jose Youngs. Hello, sir. Mm-hmm. Here with Alex K. Lee, Prince Positivity. Hello, sir. There we go. And our boots on the ground in Atlanta, GA, sat 100 yards away from the boxing festivities.
Dad, what did you do tonight?
I watched a concert. A very interesting, diverse concert, and then some fights happened in the middle of it too, which was a lot.
Yeah,
odd.
But what did you do? Because I was trying to gauge, since I've been covering so many UFC fights, I'm like, what would it be like to cover this event? And I'm like, we finished the co-main event. I'm like, what has Jed done? Like, saying it's a knock on you, but like, what actors did they give you?
I ended up just doing like our play-by-play because there was no access, and even the play-by-play was weird because there were no fights. So like, I encourage you to go check the website. Most of it is me talking about musical acts that I've never heard of or that haven't been relevant in two decades. So it was super weird, man. Like, it was easily the weirdest night of my journalistic career. A lot of it was good and a lot of it was fun, but I it's gonna take me a while to even fully digest what the hell just happened.
What was the rest of the media turnout like?
So I can't speak entirely for it because I think there was a bit of segregation in the media. And by that, I mean there were some people that had floor access. So like ESPN, I think most people by now have seen the like up close camera angle of the knockout. Like, that's an ESPN camera angle, a couple of other things. But everywhere else, like, I was just sitting up in the press box with like Ring Magazine and sort of all the other access things. There wasn't a ton of media. And ultimately that was probably the right call because access was super limited. like you couldn't do anything, which was super weird. Like, it was the most militant I've ever seen anybody about like taking video. Like, that was just a hard no for them. I guess because the whole NFT thing, I'm not really sure. Super fun thing happened when I walked in. I'm walking in, I have my bag that has a camera with it, and they're like, hey, you need to cover your phone. And they gave me a sticker to put over the cameras on my phone so I wouldn't take pictures, despite holding a camera and pointing this fact out to them. And like 3 hours into the show, one of the like Triller guys comes up and I'm on my phone. He's like, what the hell is that? And I was like, your people made me do this. He's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's like, I agree, but they said I had to. So there was a lot of weird stuff going on. And like all of the video is theirs. Like nobody has a separate camera in the interviews. It's all the Triller Zoom. So really, I just got to soak in the ambiance, and boy, was there ambiance.
Yes, Casey on the ones and twos is here as well. But
I don't want the concert to end. Yeah. Just keep the party going.
I know. We're gonna go right back.
You got such a better show than I did, because half of that was pre-recorded. Like half of the things that you saw in this broadcast did not.
Who was live again? Who was live again? Black Keys and who else? Bieber.
Black Keys and Bieber were live, so they bookended live. Diplo was the outro DJ and was live as well. None of the Mount Westmore stuff, all of that was not live. That was pre-recorded the day before in the arena, just closed set. There are too many damn acts. I don't remember who all it was.
Doja Cat,
Sweetie was definitely live, but I think everyone is pretty aware that Sweetie was not actually singing live. That looked extremely poorly lip sunk. So it was it, but like the rest of it was all bits that were played video, and so. I don't know. I didn't watch the pay-per-view, but I feel like it might be a little more palatable. But there weren't a ton of people at this thing. They didn't sell tickets to it. Like it was a closed event. So that was to be expected. But like, it would have been way different with fans. I think the energy would have been super great and super high. There's gunshots outside my window. That's fun. yeah, it's just a good night in Atlanta. That's what it is.
Jed, can you also? There's one thing I remember. I saw you mention on Twitter that the announcers, the commentary, that was just being broadcast throughout the arena the whole time. So, how strange was that? Especially considering some of the people they had on there. Oscar De La Hoya just losing his just completely wasted.
It was the best.
Yeah. What else? How about yeah.
It was great because I've never seen that at any other event I've ever been to where like, oh, I'm just getting – I got the broadcast just from my chair, not from up there. And it had to be super weird too because I kept thinking about it for like – I know there were only three fights that actually happened that any of us saw. But it had to be really weird because remember when like the COVID first happened and fighters were like – it's weird at the Apex with nobody around because I can hear what the commentary team's saying. This was that only if the commentary team had literally the stadium speakers to amplify what the hell they were saying. And so when you get to the Prograce situation where Red Cat's just like probably took a dive. Like I don't know. I can't say confidently that he didn't like his own elbow didn't hit him in the nads or whatever, and like that's why it was, but it seems really suspicious that he wasn't trying to milk a DQ out of that, and the commentary team is just roasting him, and that is on the stadium surround sound while he's laying and getting stretchered out, and they're like, dude, why are you getting stretchered out? This is ball.
Oh no.
Like, if he wasn't faking that, like, can you imagine how upset that dude would justifiably be? Because like Mario Lopez is just like, I think this dude's a liar. It was AC Slater is calling me a professional fighter a liar. This is bullshit. It was so ridiculous.
That's the greatest event of the year. Oh, it's so good.
Man, that seemed fun.
So it was, and I don't want to like make anybody think Triller was bad. It yeah. At the beginning, it really had a lot going for it. And I said this on Twitter. I would be really, really interested to go to another one of these when they have a crowd, because I think they did. We could get, if you guys want to, we can get super into a lot of our thoughts on it. They clearly were too heavy into the music thing. There was just too much of that. But there was like a little bit of an atmosphere going there, and that would have been like popping off with a bunch of people there. There just were only like 200 fans and then 600 people working the show, because you had a bunch of really famous people and a lot going on. So I think if they had a fan base there, it would have been awesome. It was still really fun. It was just, it dragged on, and they could work on pacing and probably a lot of other things, but ultimately pretty good time, and they're probably very happy with the outcome.
All right, well, listen, Jed, you were not far away from the big knockout. Jake Paul gets it done, first round, just under 2 minutes. What was it like being right there watching that all play out?
So I went down south with the fans for the main event. Left press row and like just went down to the thing. One, I am going to knock Triller on this, because I think they did many things that were good or interesting or fun. Apparently, after talking to some of their people, like all the fans in attendance won some fashion of a contest. I do not know the terms or how this was done, but I mean, they had like VIP fans, like you saw Evander Holyfield and Chuck Liddell. Like the fans in the actual just regular issue stands, they all won some kind of a Triller contest. And if I was them, I would feel a little bit like I got gypped, because the food situation was not tremendous, because it's not like Chick-fil-A was open. The stadium is closed functionally. So we had boxed lunches that were not great. I'm not sure the drinks were available. Granted, it didn't really matter, because the crowd that was this group were largely teenagers and sometimes their parent chaperones. So maybe the drink thing didn't matter. But all of them are sitting like – they were sitting 100 to 150 yards away from the ring, because they were sitting in the stands and the ring was in the middle of the stadium with all of the things going on. And then literally directly in the center, like blocking out most of the ring, was Triller's camera scaffolding set. So like you couldn't really see the ring unless you got all the way to the left or all the way to the right side of the select seating. And mostly you were just watching two big screen televisions and it was kind of booty. So I'm going to knock Triller for that. But I went down. I sat with all the fans or whatever for the main event. That's something I usually do for these sorts of things. And people were into it. Like they – it felt a little bit more like Ben Askren was the favorite amongst the fans to some extent. None of them really cared ultimately. Like nobody cared at all what happened. They just wanted to see somebody get got. And – they did a couple of times. Like easily the biggest pop of the night other than the Askren thing was the slap fight replay. Like easily that was the biggest pop of the night. It's like, oh. So but I mean it was pretty cool. I actually got a pretty good angle from where I was sitting to watch it like clean. So even 100 yards away, I mean it was still pretty obvious. And I would like to just some people have been saying really dumb things on Twitter. That was not a work. It was not rigged. Ben Askren didn't take a dive. Ben Askren got friggin' lamped, and he was saved by the ref, because if the ref lets him go forward, he's just gonna get lamped again harder. Like that was done. As probably like, you could have let him take one more, because we know I'm always gonna say yes to watching Ben Askren get got. But, yeah, good stoppage. And, I mean, that's the outcome everybody wanted, at least from Triller's side, certainly.
Well, there you go. So we'll move on to the UFC momentarily, because I know a lot of people want to talk about that long marathon of a card. I can't believe I made it back for any of those fights, let alone two of the fights. But I don't know who else watched it. I was live vlogging the main event of the UFC, so I didn't get to see any of it. I saw it on Twitter. But there's the rigged – all of that stuff that's going on. But can we confidently say at this point, and Jed, maybe you could attest to this because you were sitting right there. We saw the physique and everything. Ben was talking a bunch of trash. Like, he sold the fight great. But is it fair to say that Ben didn't take this thing seriously at all? Like, this was a payday and nothing more? Like, is that fair to say at this point?
I don't know, man, because, like, I think it's more likely than not that that's the case. But people talking about Ben's physique, when was Ben ever an Adonis? Like, he's a little softer than normal. And the commentary team said, you know, Ben weighs 20 pounds more. He didn't cut any weight. Like, I am not confident that he looked really anything majorly different than he would have if he were coming in for a welterweight fight. Like, maybe he would have been a little fitter. I don't think that would have made a difference in the outcome. Maybe he didn't take his training that seriously. I think that's very in play because he did seem super confident. But also, he could have taken it seriously. It doesn't matter. Like, he's really bad at boxing. If you read the article me and AK wrote this week, like yesterday or today is when it dropped, before this, all that I said in there was he's old, he had functionally a hip replacement surgery, and he was bad at MMA boxing, which was largely just used to set up takedowns, which makes him like exponentially worse at actual boxing, which can't set up takedowns. Like, he's just not good at this, and so it's not a surprising outcome. I was a little surprised that he got knocked. I was surprised he got knocked out early because he has shown to have a really good chin, but he took a really clean punch, and I think what we can safely say is Jake Paul at least hits hard. He's still not good at boxing, but he does hit hard, and he's good at celebrity boxing, and he's going to make millions of dollars because of that.
Yes, he will. I'm actually watching the ESPN angle right now, and yeah, Lamp is probably a perfect.
A lot of yeah. Are people saying it? Is it what you didn't really get hit? That was a knockout.
They're saying Ben took a dive. Which is nonsense.
No, you don't take a dive when you're the guy who's going to get his ass kicked. That's not a dive. That's not how a dive works. that's called losing the fight.
It's also not – he's the best actor in the world if it happened. Like, if you watch that angle, the ref tries to give him an extra, like, 6 seconds by doing that, hey, Jake, go back to your – no, Jake, go back to your corner.
Yeah.
And it's like, Ben, walk forward, and Ben stumbles forward because he got lamped. Like, he's it's nonsense. I was really surprised that, like, people started saying – that, but I guess it's not that surprising. It was a 2-minute knockout, and a lot of people really thought that MMA is as good as boxing when it comes to boxing. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, and Frank Mir fought tonight too and went the distance.
Dude, Frank Mir was good.
Yeah.
That fight was not good because it was like the exact opposite of what Triller wanted to happen, because it was boring, but. Frank, like, props to Frank Mir and Andrei Arlovsky, because apparently he did the damn thing too. Way to go, old heavyweights, you guys.
former UFC champions.
Yeah, former UFC heavyweight champions just out here grinding.
And Jed, you could hear Oscar's commentary. I mean, if you ask Oscar, I mean, Mir was at some points was murdering Steve Cunningham. Oscar was he was killing the whole USSR, according to.
I can hear Oscar's commentary in my house, 2 miles away, right now. I'm dead. I mean, this 100% seriously. Obviously, yikes. The speakers. I just told you about this. I could legitimately hear what Oscar De La Hoya. I could hear his voice from where I was sitting in press row, like 300 yards away. Like, he was loud.
Oh, man. So that is Triller Boxing. I'm sure we're going to talk more about that this week. I'm sure Jed's going to come back on Between the Links because everyone wants a rematch between him and Drake. But let us talk about...
How did my boy do? How did my big boys do?
Oh, the two walruses? Oh, it was the greatest fight ever.
It was a very dead ending.
Oh, he would have loved it.
Oh, do you know how it ended, Jed?
I saw that it was a nutshot KO or DQ or was it DQ or no contest?
A nutshot to go to the judges.
They went to
the scorecards. Yeah.
Brilliant. So we had two technical decisions.
A split decision. A tech split decision for Romanoff.
That is the most appropriate ending.
Ah, oh, man. Wild. But in the main event, Mike, over at the, Mike, go ahead.
I'm not going to have a lot of UFC thoughts either. I was on a lot of last cover. So before we change it, I just want to say I see a lot of people in our comments saying how much they hated the show.
Which show?
I honestly, the Paul Askren show, Triller, hashtag Triller Fight Club.
Cool.
And I mean, Jed's pretty much recapped everything, but I want to say watching it from home, it was pretty enjoyable. It was pretty enjoyable. I'm not going to lie. Like I said, mileage may vary depending on the acts that you enjoy. Like if you're a casual fan, you like, you know, you like Justin Bieber, or you're a casual fan, you like the Black Keys, or you like, who's the second performer again? Was it Sweetie?
Sweetie.
I don't even know who some of these people are. Saweetie. Excuse me. But again, I know a lot of our commenters, you guys are the real fans, the real hardcore MMA fans. So I love you guys. But you got to remember this Paul Askren fiasco, whatever you want to call it, was not for people who were thinking, oh, maybe I'd prefer to watch Robert Whittaker and Calvin Gastelum show tonight. It wasn't for you guys. It wasn't for the audience. This whole other segment. And in that sense, I think it delivered. I think Jed's right, though. They probably could trim some of the fat, maybe one or two less musical acts, maybe the way they spaced the fights apart. Because it was one fight. It was just the Fournier-Raycon fight from 9 o'clock when the main card started to 11. One fight.
And that fight was
That was a bit much. Yeah, unless you're a huge fan of the first. And it was Saweetie, and who went right after Saweetie? Because they did musical acts back to back, right?
They had like three of them right there.
Was it Saweetie, then Mount Westmore?
Then they did the Mount Westmore.
Doja Cat performed.
That was after the second. I think there was a fight in between that. But either way, I'm just saying, I get why some of our more dedicated hardcore MMA fans are like annoyed by what they might have seen for the show, whether they watched legally or through nefarious means. But I just love the idea and the concept of the show and like how they try to appeal again to this wider audience. I think there's something to it. And like we said, it's not perfect. I will be shocked if this does. I see some people saying, oh, there's no way this did more than a million. I'll be shocked if it doesn't do a million. I'll be it's gauche to talk about traffic and clicks and all that crap. If a fraction of the amount of people that check this stories out in our sites, if a fraction of them purchase this, it clears a million easily. I think this beats the Tyson.
They need to.
Yeah. Oh, they definitely have to.
This needs to sell 5 million pay-per-views to make money. Just no way.
I mean, they're like, all, they have other revenue streams coming in.
They spent on this thing. Yes. Alone.
It looks very like expensive. $1 million. It looks very expensive. But I mean, again, I think there's advertising. I think there's other revenue streams, but you're right. It does seem like they're barely, no matter what, NFTs. Yeah. They're barely going to come out ahead. But overall, again, maybe we're just, again, we do work in the industry. I speak for myself, and we cover a lot of shows. But so maybe I like anything that's different. But I don't know, man. Thumbs up for me on the Paul Askren stuff. I can say it.
Is this, why is that like a shame to say? I thought the show ruled.
I'm just looking at our comments. I know how our I'm just massaging my comments for a lot of our more dedicated viewers. Someone just said. David Sandine, a regular commenter, said, shaking my head that I watched this and would hear Gaslam. Guy, we have assignments, all right? But let me tell you something. What? This is an assignment that I enjoy and would do again.
I would have chosen this one. In fact, I did choose this one instead. Look, this is not a thing that I would want every day, but honestly, it was freaking, like, a lot of it was really cool. Like, I don't have any love in my heart for Bieber, but he put on a good show for his like three songs. It's like, like that was something worth watching in a live setting. Maybe it's just that I'm starved for like live music and being outside around people. That could even be some of it too, but a lot of it was cool. They just need to turn the dials back some.
Yeah. Turn it up.
More. It wasn't enough.
Wait, turn it to 11.
Okay, just final
dog. There's a dog behind you.
Jed. Yes, there is a dog.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jed, I know you were tired. You you did a hell of a job out there, whatever it is that you
did. I did not.
And any final words before we let you off to Betty Bye?
Why are you kicking me off? This is bogus. You don't want me to hang out with you, Mike?
I'm trying to do you. You can hang out.
You didn't, no, I'm you trying didn't to watch the UFC at all.
You we're said you were exhausted. You didn't watch UFC.
I haven't said anything in a while. I'm just going to pull at him. I'm just going to lurk quietly.
You want to lurk quietly? That's fine.
Things that I was correct about, I will jump in and be like, I told you. I didn't get to see it, but I told you.
All right. Fair enough. Well, we could talk about the UFC. We should talk about Robert Whittaker's performance tonight because that was something. 50-45, sweeps the scorecards. Calvin Gastelum. To quote the great Jim Ross, tougher than a $2 steak. I mean, Whittaker was landing everything on him, and Gastelum just kept coming forward. He kept getting countered and kept getting kicked in the head, in the legs, and the body. But Gastelum's tough. Whittaker looked fantastic tonight. There's no doubt he should be fighting Adesanya next after that performance. So I'll go to whoever actually watched the fight to get their thoughts. Jose, come on in, my friend. Your thoughts on the Reaper's performance.
Watch the fight.
Bobby Knuckles, in my eyes, earned himself a title shot tonight.
Well, he's going to get fight Israel Adesanya next. Dana White has already said that's the fight that makes sense. Robert Whittaker responded to Marvin Vettori, said he needs to calm down. He can – like, Robert Whittaker actually honestly seemed to open – to fight Marvin Vettori after he says he beats Izzy, which if he beats Izzy, that trilogy fight is going to happen for sure, because that would be another epic banger of a fight. But Robert Whittaker said, like, I ran the gauntlet, I fought all the contenders, and Dana White himself has said that fight makes sense. Izzy versus Whittaker too. Robert Whittaker, I think his exact phrasing was, that's the only fight that makes sense. Israel Adesanya tweeted, well done, my son. So, yeah, I think that fight is 100% going to happen next, and I am all here for it. That fight ruled. Robert Whittaker's high kick was on point today, and my God, he looked unbelievable. Well-deserved fight of the night. I think from what I saw, a lot of fights I had to tune out to watch some of the boxing matches. But, yeah, not the best counter programming the UFC could have put together. I watched most of the UFC fights, but there were some decent scraps, the heavyweight scrap that everyone keeps talking about on the prelims. That fight was fantastic in the first round. And then it kind of slowed down in the second, and then it kind of ended goofy. Tracy Cortez, I think, won the fight easily. I don't think that was a split decision. Bummer for Anthony Burchak, one of the OG Arizona MMA fighters. He got stopped right out of the gate. So, and then, of course, the Jakar close fell out. So weird night for Arizona MMA, but not the best counter program for the UFC, but good on Andre Arlovsky. And then after the Arlovsky fight, I just felt like there was something missing with this card. I'm like, oh, yeah, Jeremy Stephens or Jakar Close would have been a banger of a fight, and we could have had time between the main events so we wouldn't have to watch them simultaneously. So, yeah, something was missing, and it was a banger of a lightweight fight in the co-main event. But unfortunate programming for the UFC for how these fights played out. And then Violent Bob Ross, of course, looked fine, I guess. He had good takedown defense. That's about it.
To be fair, we didn't have to watch them simultaneously either. Jake got been out of there real quick, made it easy for everyone.
That's true. I was like, I didn't even know what happened. And then, like, between rounds, I looked on Twitter, and I think AK, whoever's doing the, like, the live play-by-play of, like, Jake Paul's speech, I pretty much saw, like, I can't believe how I feel right now. It's like a dream. And I was like, the fight's over already? Are you kidding me? Wow. And here we are.
I see a question came in from that dude whose name I don't remember. And I've seen this a lot. When did the UFC card start? Because everyone seems to feel like it lasted forever.
4 o'clock. Well, 4:30. So that'd be 7:30 Eastern.
Oh, okay.
It was a long card. It was only 10 fights. God.
But yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. So the fight of the night, as Jose stated, was Whitaker versus Gastelum. 50-45s, all three judges' scorecards, but it was still a good fight despite the scorecards. Performance of the night bonus, Tony Gravely, and Jed's favorite fighter, Gerald Meerschaert, with an extra $50,000.
Good for Gerald.
First round submission.
I mean, that's a good way to get to rebound after talking all that crap and getting got in 20 seconds. So
I think Gerald also now has the most submissions by a UFC middleweight. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's not bad. It's a lot of good names that come through middleweight. A lot of good submission guys. So good for Gerald.
AK, you say that, and then when you attach Gerald Meerschaert's name to it, it makes me immediately think that that is a meaningless stat.
Damian Maia, Antonio Carlos Jr., Shoeface.
Damian Maia spent most of his career.
Why are you pooping on Gerald's achievement? Why are you doing this? Don't be that guy.
Because Gerald can grow a beard and Jed still can't.
Okay, hold on, I wasn't fishing for that. I wasn't fishing for that, Jose.
That's not fishing. You guys were getting along so well.
You were getting along so well.
Is this round either six? Way, what is going on?
Either way, it's a fact. Meerschaert now. I think
that's a fact.
Yeah, that's six, not being
six
offensive.
Six UFC submissions, the most in UFC middleweight history. That's a fact. However you want to frame it, just a fact.
Yeah,
that is a
facts
fact.
Are facts. He has a lot of submissions. Jed facts can't grow a beard. Ben Askren got knocked dead. Life goes on.
Uncoughed. He didn't get knocked
dead. He almost got knocked dead. Oh. He was saved from being knocked dead.
I still can't believe people think that was rigged. Like, he got hit in the head hard.
It's people that think it was rigged are people try to come up with fan theories or TV shows. They want things to work out the way they want things to work out. And when they don't get what they want, they throw a tantrum in their mind and try to make sense of reality.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's so weird because I remember when the fight was first announced, the immediate reaction was, this young guy was going to knock Ben Askren out. Ben Askren's not a boxer. That was the immediate reaction. And then now that we're here and it happened, if you're like, it's fixed. I'm like, but everyone, it's like when McGregor knocked out Cerrone. Everyone's like, Cerrone's just getting set up for this fight for a payday. He's going to take a dive. At first, like, McGregor's going to knock him out. And then after, it's like, Cerrone took a dive. I'm like, you predicted a knockout. So why is this outcome so unbelievable now? It's so weird. I don't understand.
The first maybe two punches Jake Paul threw, I'm like, this is not going to go well for Ben Askren at all. He was like, he whipped those in and he was missing by like centimeters. I'm like, he touches Ben Askren, he's going on his ass, even if he doesn't get knocked out. He's a 22-year-old kid who's like cuts down to 190. Of course he's going to hit harder than Ben Askren.
Also, Ben Askren has no defense. Who's the dude who got tuned up by K1 Damian Maia?
If anyone watches, I don't know if any of you guys have watched it, but if you watch the Frank Mir post-fight press conference, he talks a lot about the difficulties in the box. We've all interviewed Frank Mir before, so you know how well he is at like breaking down technically breaking down MMA fights and striking everything. He does a very excellent job of breaking down why it's so frustrating going from MMA to boxing. Like, it's the leg placements and how, like, if you shoulder roll in MMA, you can throw a leg kick or you can go for the over, like, the underhooks, and he just couldn't do that. And it's why he's like, Steve Cunningham just pieced me up because I struggle with the head movement of boxing and, like, the foot movement of boxing. I think after this, go watch Frank Mir's breakdown of boxing versus MMA. And it's very interesting take.
He's always been really smart about that.
He's very good. Yeah.
By the way, some of the comments trying to correct me says Maia has 11 subs in the UFC. Fact. Yes, at between welterweight and middleweight. I said this is a UFC middleweight record. Come on, people. Gosh, get it together. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just getting cheese. But yes, I'm sorry. What were we talking about? Ben Askren. Yeah. He got knocked. He lost. That's legit. It was legit. I don't know.
We're talking about Frank Mir and the way he breaks down.
Oh, I'm sorry. The difference. Yes, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
I mean, he was on the same card, so you're like, you're in the ballpark at least.
Yeah, was he on the same card? Because those fights happened, it felt like a lifetime.
it was a big gap.
It was a fever.
Yeah. So to kind of address the other question about like the pacing of the UFC, So I DJed a wedding about an hour and 15 minutes away from where I live. And it was supposed to end at 9:30 Eastern. And they kept me on for another hour. And apparently I was supposed to like live blog the main event between Whitaker and Gaslam. And I was like, I was. So I get in the car an hour later, drove an extra hour and 15 minutes back home and still made it back for the co-main event. That's how slowly paced this card was. So yes, it was poorly paced. It really was. And especially, what was it? I got home in time for like the decision being read for the third fight. And then we got an entire interview with Volkanovski and Ortega about the Ultimate Fighter. That lasted like 10 minutes.
Let me jump. I don't think the pacing was that. I don't think it was the pacing. It was the fights. Because how many fights? There were 10 fights and 9 of them were decisions. And a bunch of them were split decisions. So like that's why it felt like it was for like 8 of them, whatever. It was, and like, yeah, I guess one of them was like a technical submission or whatever. I mean, like it was, and even like the Romanov one was a technical decision, that fight. Like that Romanov decision, got the low blow. Yeah, it was, it happened in like a minute into the third round, and then he took like 5 minutes to recover. So that was 6 minutes. That was a 6 minute round that it took. And then they still had to figure out the whole doctor situation. So that added to that. So a bunch of split decisions. Like the first fight of the night was a TKO, and then Gerald Mearshart got like a submission 2 fights later. And then it was like split decision, split decision, split decision, low blow. So it's not like we're seeing wars. We're just like, oh my God, this is unbelievable right now. So yes, I don't think it was the pacing. It was just the amount of split decisions that were going on. It was no dominant wins like we were expecting.
I had an aneurysm going from listening to the commentary for Triller and then flipping back and turning the volume up for the UFC. Like, it was just so incredibly, like, just polar opposites. Like, it was wild. I don't know. I mean, Triller had to, they were doing a thing, you know, it's something different. But, man, just going back and forth, it was just like, it was wild. It was wild.
Like right here, after the Gerald Mearshart submission win, we had a split decision for Pena. A technical split decision for Romanov, split decision for Luis Pena, split decision for Tracy Cortez, and then 3 straight unanimous decisions, one of them being a 5-round decision for Robert Whittaker. That's why that card felt like it took forever.
I think 4 split decisions ties a record for split decisions on a card, which is a weird piece of fact that I don't know.
Which is a fine record to have. Some of the fights they set up that they were kind of hoping would produce a big, like Al Hassan and Malkoon, I think people thought, okay, well, this is going to end in someone getting finished. And congratulations for Malkoon. He lost. Malkoon really, really great, showed off really great wrestling and just controlled the fight with it. And that's why, again, the last and worst thing that they thought was going to happen. So that didn't work out. That Arlovski-Sherman fight, again, I'm just kind of watching 2 things at once.
Was
every time I kept checking back, I couldn't believe how long, but that fight felt longer than.
There was some groin shots in there.
Boy, I kept looking back and I'm like, this is still going. I can't believe, I'm like, Justin Bieber's performing. And Justin Bieber's done. Oh, the fight's still going.
There was a point where Chase Sherman tried to do like the Max Holloway where he like pointed at the ground and Andre Arlovski was like, no.
That was the highlight. I forgot. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me that. That was so good. No.
I love that fight so much because I've seen no fights in this card and I 100% know exactly how the Arlovski-Sherman fight looked. Like, I just know exactly what that fight looked
even
like.
Even though it was unanimous for Arlovski, I think a lot of, like, Chase Sherman was like, yeah, I won that fight. I was like,
yeah.
It was muddy, ugly.
It was muddy and ugly. Arlovski probably did a lot of clinching to just suck time away. He's the best.
No, it wasn't. Really? I mean, yeah, they fought the whole time. In the first round, Chase Sherman had Arlovski hurt badly.
Yeah.
And then Sherman landed a knee to the midsection, and Arlovski tried to like play it off like he got low blowed. He tried a wily veteran move, but Keith Peterson, no nonsense, was like, mm-mm. No.
You should have waited until the stretcher took him out. That would have been the pro move.
So Arlovski comes back and throws like a spinning back fist.
The Romanov fight, when he got low blowed, it was like, it wasn't even a hard one. I think he got like a dead leg on the inside of his thigh because he couldn't extend it. He was like sitting there. He's like, I can't extend. But it was like the language barrier. So it's like bringing his coach. And then his coach was talking to him. And then this coach would tell the ref, and the ref would be like, no, tell the doctor. And it was like this whole lost in translation thing. And he's like, I can't move my leg. And then Espino's like, are we going to keep fighting? And then all of a sudden they're reading the scorecards. He's like, what's happening right now? And then he lost, and he's like, what the hell is going on right now? I thought I was about to win this fight.
Man. So Jed picked the right fight.
It was some fantastic grappling in that first round, though. Yeah, like Romanov took him down, and then they climbed back up, and then Espino just like hip tossed him to the canvas, and it was just like I could feel the canvas shaking through my. It was just like hip toss, like the camera just like shook about the amount of meat that was just bouncing around in there. It was fantastic. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. That would have won fight of the night if it didn't end like that.
It should have got fine. Okay. We got to talk about actually the most important, the craziest event of the whole day, to be honest.
Dude.
Oh, that's a Jeremy Stephens knocking out Jakar Kloss. Jeez Louise, dude.
Let me
hop on this one. Let me jump on this one first because it's typical fight night, before we do the weigh-ins, we do a stare down post, that kind of stuff. And sometimes the stare downs are pretty uneventful, and that's why on our site you guys will just see UFC 23 down the Oda. So this one, I'm like, oh, this is kind of eventful. We had the shove, but I didn't think much of it. We made a video just for the shove, post just for the shove. And we're like, oh, okay, whatever. That story's over. It's nothing. It's cool thing to watch. Never would I have thought that Jeremy Stephens, as powerful as he is, as much of a KO artist as he is, would shove a man so hard that he would KO him before the fight started. So it's pretty. If everything that Jakar Kloss is claiming is true, he says he immediately felt numbness in his neck and in his hand. So, it sounds like there was some sort of nerve issue, some sort of whiplash possibly from the unexpected shoving. If all of this is true, man, that was a super effed up thing for Jeremy Stephens to do. We talked about this before the show that, Jeremy Stephens likes to get hyped up. He likes to get hyped up. He likes to get himself in the mood to smash his opponents. But maybe he went a little too far this time. I almost feel like there could be legal ramifications. I don't know. It's very rare that you see fighters sue other fighters in these kind of situations. But
Jakar Kloss said it was a cervical sprain of the neck, and he was actually diagnosed with a concussion from it. Because you gotta remember too, this is right after the weigh-ins too. So he is dehydrated. So that brain is bouncing around a little more too. And I don't know. Take a hard shove when you're not expecting it. Right into the chest like that.
Dude,
that's going to mess you up.
His hands were behind his back. Like, he was standing there with his hands behind his back when he got shoved. So it's not like he could even brace himself.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird, but I totally get it. Yeah.
It was the perfect storm for a shove to like really hurt someone. And I'm appalled by a lot of the commenters on our site who were like, almost I would say 9 out of 10 not condemning Jeremy for the shove, but for going like, man, Kloss, what's wrong, like either what's wrong with this guy, how soft do you have to be taken up by a shove, or he's faking it, he must have had some other issue and he wanted to get out of the fight. I'm like, I've joked about this before, but like, man, our some of our readers or some of these fans on social media who say this stuff, these must be the smartest, most perceptive people in the world if they can figure these things out based on this little information. I am impressed by how they can, these online detectives. These guys are geniuses, and I just, my mind doesn't work that way.
All right.
What else we got? Yeah, I just hope Jakar gets to show and win money.
Right. Yeah, I've watched that face off, and I was just like, what inspired the push? Like, what did Jakar say? Was there anything?
Jeremy Stephens. That's literally Jeremy Stephens has done it a million times. That's all I can come up with.
No, Jeremy Stephens, he posted on Instagram before Jakar Kloss was out of the fight. So I think last night he just said, you get in front of me that like that, that's disrespect. That's all I want. Yeah, Jeremy Stephens.
You get in front of me.
It's a face off.
Your
back. Yeah.
It's a face off. You're
disrespectful.
What are you supposed to do?
How dare you look at me, sir?
What are you going to say, Jed? Yeah, how dare you face me?
Well, one, it's really dumb. It's pretty obvious. You should just not – fighters should not be allowed to touch each other at the weigh-ins. I mean, outside of a UFC rule, like, literally the actual technical legal definition of what Jeremy Stevens did there is battery. Like, yeah. He touched him. There was no waiver for that to be applied. That was unwanted touching, and it resulted in injury. Yes, there could be legal ramifications. There won't be. Dakar Klaus is not going to sue Jeremy Stevens. That's where we're at. Close. But yeah, pretty obviously they should just not allow fighters to touch each other at weigh-ins. But I'm not nearly as concerned about this because we all know how that's going to end. I do want to know, Dakota Bush has an interesting nickname. And did Bruce Buffer say that interesting nickname on ESPN Plus?
I had the same question.
Jose?
I watch a lot of the fights in the mute, so I don't know.
I'm pretty confident. I'm pretty confident he didn't. Yeah. You know, on the graphics UFC has, you know, they'll put their nickname on the graphics, and he had him as no nickname.
So, it'd be tough for them to put that as the graphic, but I could see Buffer maybe sneaking it in there. Because it would be a little harder, I feel like, if you're just watching. Like, it might not register. You might be like, did I mishear that?
Hey, take that those dirty nicknames to Triller, okay? That's true. This is Ben Askren. This is not family friend. Fights, family
nicknames
entertainment.
For that, or nicknames for that, or for sports where we lose the fights to a shove in a stare down. This is a civilized sport.
Oh boy.
Sport of kings.
Even put it. You could even put it before the first name. It's still funny, but it's just not as.
His nickname should be W. That'd be funny.
That's interesting. Dakota W.
People, for anyone asking what is the nickname, let me put it this way. Jed and I had to write about this guy for Mistress once, and the name did not make it past our editor above us. And so the only way we wrote about it was, his name is Dakota Bush. His nickname is exactly what you think it would be. So there you go. That's how we'll leave it for now.
It's the opposite of what's on my head.
There we go.
Like if you would describe my head, comments, people. It'd be the opposite of how you would describe my head.
It is in the comments.
If you were watching Triller, think about what the commentary team would think is the
funniest.
Are
we still talking about this, my guy?
Yeah. And we're going to be talking about this for weeks.
Our comments.
You gotta get on board.
Oh, the comments are off the chart.
All right, do we have any questions?
No, none.
Do we want to talk more about Dakota Bush's career? Just weekend.
I have things to say about the Triller card, but as far as the UFC card, it was cool. Yeah, people fought, guys won, guys lost. Jessica
Penne. Jessica Penne, congrats on a win, her first win in 1500 days. But Lupi Godinez looked pretty good too, and she hit a jackknife powerbomb.
She did.
It was effing. That's like the sickest thing I've ever seen.
She probably watched it a little closer than I did. She was working from the bottom for a submission, and her opponent was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to turn into Kevin Nash, WCW, and just like slam you on the ground. It was absolutely fantastic.
Dude, and then they showed like the slow-mo replay of like Penne's face like going, like in the ground. It was great.
That was awesome.
You lose the fight. If you win, is that like, isn't that just a win? You automatically
Have you seen Kevin Nash wrestle? It doesn't always work out for him, my guy.
Lupo only got a two count.
You live in Atlanta, my man. You live in the city he made a name for himself.
Yeah.
It was a great near fall.
Yeah.
That would have been the finish for me, Casey. If I was booking, that would have been the finish. I thought they went a little bit overboard. Yeah. I thought they kind of that the heat peaked there and they should have gone for the finish. But you know, whatever. I'm not a
Oh, dude.
But it was a close. It was a really close. It could have gone the other way. It was a super close.
I hope they put that move and the Bubba O'Reilly special they put before the pay per views.
Yes.
Oh, that was so good. Thank you for bringing that back up. I had so many bad memories tonight, but that was a good one.
Yeah, there was some. I wasn't watching the fight super closely, but there was some good stuff going on in the UFC. Like we said, just in comparison to the spectacle of Thriller Fight Club, it was such a contrast of all the cards that could have happened opposite the Thriller Fight Club card. It's such a, if you were watching both, it really was this contrast of, like, of course, great competitive fights on the, you know, on the UFC, but there was just not that spark. It felt a little mundane, and then of course on the other side, just complete chaos.
Jose, in the main event, I saw nothing, obviously. Was it just that Whitaker was that on point, or did Gastelum look flat?
Whitaker
on point.
No. Whitaker, Kelvin Gastelum was not flat whatsoever. Like, Kelvin Gastelum beats every middleweight not named Robert Whitaker and Israel Adesanya. Robert Whitaker was just that good.
Yeah.
Like everything Kelvin Gastelum came with, Robert Whitaker just had a count. That first round, I thought someone was going to bed by round two. It was such high level striking back and forth for about 10 minutes. It was such an awesome fight.
Whitaker landed this like super clean left hook. Yeah. And then, like, before Gastelum could even like react to it, he came up the right side with a kick right in his face.
Yeah.
And like, he does it all the time.
Gastelum like off the ground. It was crazy.
Robert Whitaker's head kick, high kick he was firing on all cylinders. Like he could throw that whenever he wanted and find a home.
It was like a jab, dude. It was like a jab tonight. Yeah. It was crazy.
Okay, so then the next question, which now I'm just taking over hosting duties. I got this. I got this. So,
all right.
I mean, we know what's going to happen, right? We know, obviously, Dana White apparently said that that's the fight to make. But are you now more interested in
watching? Yes, 100%.
Yes.
I think I said after their first fight, I still think Robert Whitaker and Israel Adesanya are the two best middleweights in the world. And if they fought 10 times, I bet it's like 6-4 Izzy. I'm not sure. I don't think anyone beats those two at middleweight.
Have you heard of a man named Yoel Romero?
He's a light heavyweight. He's a light heavyweight in Bellator.
He did it. Oh, can we talk Bellator?
should, I guess, a little bit.
Dude, the biggest story of the weekend. Phil Davis had an exciting fight.
I'm pretty confident when I say Phil Davis is probably not even the top five storylines of this weekend.
That's crazy. I know.
Extremely.
Regardless of how much Casey sells,
Phil Davis fought an exciting fight. It was unreal.
Hold on. I don't know if I'll go as far as say exciting.
What?
But it was a very. I don't know if it's exciting. It was a very good fight.
Fine.
It was a very, very good fight.
It was a great. It was
super high level.
It was good as the main event tonight in the UFC.
I'll
two really, really, really good fighters.
I think a fight can be good without being exciting. I didn't think it was a super exciting fight, but it was a really good. Like, if you just want to see two high level, Nemkov striking. It's so enjoyable to watch.
He's more exciting than Jan and Israel Adesanya, I'll say that.
Sure. Yeah. There we go.
Of the last two heavyweight title fights, Nemkov Davis was much more exciting.
It was a good
fight.
I don't
think it was more exciting than Whitaker Gastelum, though.
I think it was. Oh, really? Oh,
no. Okay.
I think it was.
But you watch. Okay, so you watch Bellator with rose colored glasses. So let's start with.
Dude,
that.
I shit on Bellator more than anyone.
It was a good fight. It just wasn't. I don't think it was exciting as the main event. I'm sorry. It's the second most exciting fight of the weekend. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, I think we can say the Bellator main card was better than the UFC main card.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah, without a doubt.
One of the best fights of the year.
One of the best fights of the year. Yeah.
Amazing.
That fight was great.
Amazing.
I'm not even a Hamasi fan by any means a human being or a fighter.
I know you mean.
But that was a great fight.
It was.
Sure. And give Corey Anderson some credit too because. Oh, and Vita Ardir, Yanez wasn't a bad fight either. But
I just want to say, Stolen. I've heard very low rumors, and these are like low, so I don't know how truthful they are.
It should be fun.
That we might get. Bader and Corey Anderson, they're looking at Arizona with a crowd. I am so excited if Arizona gets some. The last time Bellator was here, I'm pretty sure it was Bellator 100. And that was like the Bjorn Rebney days. And he's we were like, is this going to be a big deal? And he's like, no, we're going to make it not a big deal because we all of our fights are a big deal. And I was like, Jorn, stop it. Do you know who headlined? I'm pretty sure Ben Saunders and Douglas Lima headlined that card. That was the main event.
That was a crazy knockout too, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Saunders got knocked out big, yeah, by Lima.
Bubba Jenkins lost to LaRue Burley on that card, if I remember correctly.
Oh, that's a big upset. That was a huge upset.
Right, but we were like, oh, remember UFC 100 at Brock Lesnar and George St. Pierre on that card. And Jordan Rebney was like, no, all of our events are a big deal. This isn't any different. I'm like, stupid. He put it in like the fifth biggest arena in Arizona too.
Let's be real. The Bellator Light Heavyweight Grand Prix did not get off to the most exciting start last week with Bader and Machida. That fight was a little depressing if you're a fan of Machida. It wasn't particularly enjoyable to watch. Congrats to Bader. It's a great performance. It went as you expected it, yeah. But Corey Anderson, I actually really like the Corey Anderson Doletzan Yagshimuradov match. Thank you. I don't think I nailed it, but I liked it because I think the Corey Anderson of the past, even 2 years ago, might not win that fight because he was actually getting hit a lot. He was actually eating like Yagshimuradov was like really impressive, great counter striker. He knew exactly what he wanted to do, just trying to time the uppercut. Of course, he knows Anderson's going to try to shoot in on him. But Anderson was really patient. He got caught by the uppercut a few times. He kind of changed his timing. And then eventually, you know, when he was patient. He did not try and force the takedowns. And then when he finally got at the end of round two, that's when you kind of knew that it was over for Yagshimuradov, and then took over in round three. So I was actually really impressed by Corey Anderson. And Yagshimuradov looked great too, but really impressed by Corey Anderson. Very mature. Like, that's what you want to see from a guy like him at this stage of his career. You want to see that he's learned these things. So, really looking forward to the next round. And, of course, Yoel Romero and Anthony Rumble Johnson on May 7th?
Yes. That's a great main card too. It lost some sizzle.
Let's not talk about that until it actually happens.
Of course. That's a long time. That is a long time. That's a long time.
This guy.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that card. I think I might actually be there for that one. So I'm looking forward to heading to beautiful, scenic Uncasville, Connecticut once again.
I'd love to go.
I've missed that beautiful, scenic area.
I'm jealous.
All right. Do we have anything else we would like to discuss? I think
I don't see any questions.
The Ultimate Fighter rosters are out. Yeah, so there we go. Yeah. June 1st, I think.
Vince Murdoch, welcome back to the fold, as it were. Hopefully he's healthy.
We compete. Apparently there's a media day on Monday, but I won't be there because I'll be on a plane.
Good to see some New England.
Yeah, buddy.
Who's there from New England, Mike? Who's good? Go ahead.
Kamaran Lachinov is the middleweight from Springfield, Mass. And one of the best prospects in the sport, in my opinion. Going to be part of the bantamweight. 5-0 Mitch Raposo. Really looking forward to that. That kid is legit. He's more of a flyweight, but he's had to kind of fight most of his run at 35 because like opponents fell out. Like the day of fights, like three or four different times, but he's a legit prospect, no doubt about it. So glad to see both those guys get their opportunity. Of course, Volkanovski and Ortega did their best to try to sell that season and sell their fight. And I just, okay.
Tough never die.
In the cage and fight. Yeah.
Tough never die, boys.
They tried, but it should be fun. Tough's back.
When is that happening? Do we have a date when it's coming out?
June 1st,
I believe, is the first episode.
And then you get probably 10 weeks of episodes. And then,
got like 6 weeks to catch up on all the previous seasons of Tough.
Yeah, just binge it. Just hit that binge. Don't forget the China season, which is not called the Ultimate Fighter, so you got to be careful. It's called something like the Perfect Warrior or something. So you're gonna have to. And I don't think it's on Fight Pass. So you're gonna have to stream
that. Such a better name, the Perfect Warrior.
It's something like that.
That season was hilarious. I watched every episode of that, and it was.
You watched every episode. I've only saw like
I watched that whole season on purpose because of how hilarious it was. The first episode they put them through the ringer like an MMA camp, and one of the guys just can't handle it because he's not even a fighter. He's a yoga teacher, and he's using the Ultimate Fighter to. He's like, I want to use this to become famous. Like, he openly says it. Like, he's like, I don't want to be a fighter. I'm just here for the fame. And he's just like, I can't do this. And then after episode four, the coach all of a sudden one of the coaches leaves, and they bring in Kung Lee and his team. Who Kung Lee's the Dana White of the season. Kung Lee just brings his team to coach, and then Kung Lee eventually did an interview on MMA fighting where he's like, that coach didn't know how to train MMA, so we had to get rid of him.
Oops.
And don't forget also Tough the Smashes, which is one of the best seasons. That's
just
the UK versus Tough. No, it's the Smashes. No, is it just Smashes?
It's the Ultimate Fighter Smashes, not the Ultimate Fighter the Smashes.
You noob.
I think
AK, you think noob. You noob. You casual.
No. I believe the series was called The Smashes.
Tough Smashes.
I'm looking at IMDb right now.
It is called The Smashes. That might not be.
See, here's the problem. Accurate. You want to see the theme of these shows? I say something that is 100% factual. No one believes me, and then it turns out to be a fact. Get with the
It's wrong. No, I just told you you're wrong. It's called The Smashes. Nope. I just told you it is. Nope. I looked it up, and incorrect. you are. I know why.
I'm AK, and it's called Smashes. You're correct, Jose.
Comma the.
Thank you.
Thanks. I like my headphones. It's been a great show, guys. I'm AKD. Wow.
See, here's the thing. If you go by Wikipedia, it's The Smashes. If you go by UFC.com, it's just Smashes.
But it's
The Smashes. You're right. Yes.
It's a play
exactly.
On a 130-year-old cricket rivalry that we all know.
Yeah, it's cricket. About. I'm sorry, not rugby. Yes, of course. But that's a great season. Very under. Really, really good season.
All right.
When did y'all stop watching stuff?
Never.
Season 5.
Season 5?
Never.
They're playing us off.
When they stopped making them, that's when I stopped.
I think we're done.
Kelvin Gastelum versus Jared Cannonier. Make it happen.
Of course, matchmaking will be discussed tomorrow. On to the next one. Myself and AK will try to decipher all things that happen. I don't think we're gonna touch that one.
Oh, come on, you gotta give Jake Paul an opponent. They tried to
get
set him up with that dude who's like not Dylan a bad box card.
We got some listener suggestions for Jake Paul, so there you go. So that's covered. That is covered. Don't worry about that.
All right, we'll discuss.
Dylan Danis in there with him. Dylan Danis will get obliterated.
Yes, he would.
Like
the Woodley idea is interesting. I don't hate that.
I love the idea of becoming a millionaire by beating up jiu-jitsu guys. This is great. In the ring.
What an absolute game.
All right, we're out of here. Good night, everybody, you crazy animals.
Happy birthday, AK.
Nope.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.